Reactions to Pope Benedict's historic trip to Turkey continue to make the news in countries around the world as journalists analyse his warm and friendly meetings with the ecumenical patriarch and leader of the Orthodox world, Bartholomew I, as well as his visit to the city's most famous mosque, a last-minute addition to the papal programme, which seems to have gone a long way towards easing recent tensions with the Muslim world. As well as promoting reconciliation with the Orthodox and urging greater cooperation between Christians and Muslims, the other goal of the Pope's journey was to offer support and encouragement to the tiny Catholic community, which numbers less than 1% of the mainly Muslim population.
That's one of the most important aspects of the Pope's visit, was an act of solidarity, really, with these people who feel a little bit under siege.
Father Paul Lawler lives and works in Istanbul with the Dominican community that first came to Istanbul at the beginning of the 13th century. He and his brothers were among the many different Catholic and Orthodox groups gathered in the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit, where Pope Benedict celebrated his final Mass in Turkey before returning to the Vatican on Friday evening.
There you had gathered Christians from all over Turkey. And the names resound in the mind, places like Antioch, Ephesus, Iskenderun, Mersine, also the Jesuit community that stayed here, from Ankara. We all set off early in the morning and gathered in the cathedral. And there we found, you know, the different Christian communities from the different rites. You had the Chaldean community, which were heard very clearly because they had a choir. And they were from Iraq. You know, we have a very large community of refugees from Iraq, Chaldeans, and they have a choir and they sang at the cathedral and accompanied by the violin, and that was something very, very moving. Then on the other side you had the Armenian Orthodox or Gregorian Armenians, together with the Orthodox Assyrians. They were seated on the left-hand side. And we were all gathering, the crowd coming together, priests, as I say, from different parts of Turkey and representatives of the community, because the cathedral is really not that very big, you know. Some people were out in the courtyard, some people were looking for places inside, and then you had to have the diplomats, representative of different countries. And there was a slight tension maybe at the beginning, you know, I mean, we were celebrating being together and waving across the congregation to each other. And then when the Pope came in, there was this round of applause and such a sense of welcome, you know, something we've been waiting for so long.
As he came into the cathedral, he blessed, didn't he, a new statue of one of his predecessors, John the 23rd, who really is very much loved here in Turkey, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's, you know, there's even a street named after John the 23rd behind the cathedral. He had a tremendous influence on the church. He gave great encouragement to the church at a difficult time. People tell many stories. I think it's the same thing in Rome, where there were stories about when he was Pope. And here, too, there are many stories about visiting different churches and coming out with these spontaneous gestures and full of love. And lots of people here around us, even in our own community, people, one man told me that when he was very young, a student in the school, he remembers John the 23rd, Roncalli, who coming in to the classroom and talking to them and inspiring them. And he was just a teenager at the time, but he never forgot it. And so then when he was made Pope, it seemed just like a dream to them. So he's remembered also because of his great love for the Turkish people. You know, the Turkish people are very welcoming. They're very warm hearts. They're a little bit defensive, naturally enough. They had a great Turkish empire up to the First World War, and they saw that reduced to the country of Turkey. And so they're always trying to affirm the importance of the Turkish nation and their traditions and so on. So, and John the 23rd appreciated that. I think he had a sense of the great history of the Ottoman Turks and the great history of Islam and the people there and just their friendliness. And he just reached out to them in a wonderful way.
Now, of course, the founder of modern Turkey, Ataturk, created a very rigorously secular state, didn't he? This can make life very difficult, particularly for the minority churches, the Christians, the Catholics, the Orthodox, and so on. Tell us a little bit about these difficulties.
Well, first of all, remember Ataturk. I mean, he's Ataturk means the father of the Turks. I mean, there's a great reverence, devotion to Ataturk. With the remains of the great Ottoman Empire, he created modern Turkey. And to do so, he had to take very strong measures. And he tried to establish a nation, the Turkish nation. And in doing so, he had to really control, I suppose, also remember the Islamic movements. So he had to make sure that it was a secular state along the modern lines. I think when you read it, how this Turkish nation came into being, you appreciate the difficulties, you know, that there is a real history behind this. But that brought its own difficulties for the different religious groups. In the Treaty of Lausanne, the Armenians were recognized, and so they come under the Ministry of Religion, as Islam does. Other churches are not officially recognized as churches, whereas priests can work as individuals. There's a lot of difficulty about property, schools. So, for instance, the seminaries are regarded as third-level education, and they were very firm that third-level education has to come under the state. So seminaries were closed, and now you've got these huge seminaries standing empty, the great Greek Orthodox seminaries standing empty. And that's a sore point, as you can imagine.
And the Patriarch Bartholomew I has spoken out very clearly, hasn't he? He's appealed to the government to open this seminary again, and he mentioned it, in fact, just before this trip, hoping that Pope Benedict would really reaffirm this importance of religious freedom, and perhaps this seminary will be opened again.
Exactly. I think they feel that they're worried about the future. How are they going to train priests? They want the priests to belong to Turkey, to be part of the Turkish nation, and so it's important to train them within Turkey. And so I think that's one of the most important aspects of the Pope's visit, was an act of solidarity, really, with these people who feel a little bit under siege. Not just the Greek Orthodox, but also the Armenians and the Assyrians, the various religious groups, and our own Latin Catholics. And it was to come to them and say, look, I am here, I am beside you, and praying together with us. And I think that is certainly one of the great things that happened at this Mass. This visit was really, I stand beside you.
Do you think it'll have a lasting effect after all the excitement has died down? What kind of impact would you hope it might have in the longer term?
That's exactly the question we were all discussing on the way home from Mass this morning as we walked back. Because of the security, no buses, no cars, no taxis. So we walked right back from the cathedral through Taksim Square, through Esteghlal, and back to the church. We were saying, what is the effect going to be? And we just don't know. You know, we'll have to examine the documents. We heard them, we heard the lovely words, the friendship that was there, and I think that will remain. I think one of the most moving things that brought tears to a lot of people's eyes was when the Patriarch Bartholomew and the Pope stood on the balcony and they held hands together high in the air. Well, that's a sign. I suppose we were used to that sort of thing with Pope John Paul II or formerly, but to see it now, it gave great, great encouragement. And really, people were very moved by that. And that friendship is there, and surely that is something that is so important. There are a lot of difficulties to overcome. I mean, some of the reports saying, you know, that all the barriers are down, it just is not true. There's certainly a lot to be done. But I think where there is that love and friendship and mutual respect, a lot is possible in the future.
Another image that will remain firmly in everyone's minds after this visit is that of Pope Benedict standing there in the Blue Mosque beside the Grand Mufti in a moment of silent prayer. What was your reaction to that?
Again, I found that a very moving moment. I mean, the Pope took off his shoes, walked in, to the Blue Mosque, and walked over to the niche, which indicates the direction of Mecca, or you can say over towards the east, and stood there in prayer. I find, you know, not only, I think it's going to have a great effect on Muslims to see the respect that he treated it as a holy place. But not just on Muslims, but I think on our own fellow Catholics and Christians, that we'll have maybe a new respect for the Islamic prayer, for the sense of a holy place where people can pray together to God. Sometimes in the past I've talked about, you know, going into a mosque and saying a quiet prayer and being ridiculed on this. So I was very happy to see the Pope praying there quietly, standing with his Muslim brothers. You know, that we are children of Abraham, of the one God. And certainly there are great differences, there's no doubt about that. But we can share so much. And this also the call for peace, and that religion should never be a cause for violence or for killing innocent people. I think these all will have reverberations for centuries to come. I really feel that in my heart.
For my part, on the occasion of my visit to Turkey, I wish to reiterate my great esteem for Muslims, encouraging them to continue to work together in mutual respect, to promote the dignity of every human being and the growth of a society where personal freedom and care for others provide peace and serenity for all.
Pope Benedict there addressing the diplomatic corps during his pastoral visit to Turkey. And my thanks to Father Paul Lawler for sharing with us his impressions of this historic journey.